Last thing that we read, or actually the last thing that we read, was about Queen Kunti's prayers. We heard those prayers, and they were full of power. Amazingly enough, Kunti Devi was praying for distresses to come upon her. And amazingly enough, Kunti Devi was praying that Krishna break off her attachment to a kinsman so that her attention could be fully focused upon Krishna. Prior to that, we saw how Krishna was driving the chariot of Arjuna at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. And Arjuna and Krishna were chasing Asatam, because Asatam had dared to kill the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. And how Krishna had helped the Pandavas in so many ways, saved Arjuna's life when Asatama hurled a brahmastra at him, a powerful nuclear weapon at him. How Krishna saved the Pandavas from quarreling of what to do with this Asatama, this heinous criminal. He actually did something that was impossible. He solved a contradictory dilemma, how to kill Asatama and not kill him simultaneously. How could you kill somebody and not kill the same person at the same time? But Krishna figured out a way to do it. And then Krishna was about to leave, or Yudhisthira was installed, enthroned as the king. Yudhisthira had performed the funeral ceremonies with the other Pandavas for all the departed. 640 million people were killed on the Battle of Kurukshetra. Just to install Yudhisthira as the king. So to remove himself from the sins that he was thinking were falling upon him, Yudhisthira then performed 3 Aswamedha sacrifices, 3 great sacrifices that made him famous throughout the world. And then all these sages are actually prior to that. So many sages and so many rishis, and even Krishna himself preached to Yudhisthira that this was all the will of the Lord, so you have to accept it. Then, as Krishna was preparing to leave, Aswatthama, as a last measure in his anger, because he was humiliated, he shot a brahmastra to kill the Pandavas plus the child of Abhimanyu and Uttara, who was in the womb of Uttara. That child was Maharaj Prickit. We heard how Krishna saved internally antarbahiravastitam, internally and externally. He appeared. He saved Uttara from within. Her, as the antaryami, as the super soul, he expanded himself to protect her, even within the womb, protect the child, Prickit Maharaj, who was in the womb. Krishna expanded himself as the super soul to do this. And externally, he protected the Pandavas with his chakra. So inside and outside, Krishna was protecting his devotees, and Kunti Devi saw this. And as Krishna was preparing to leave, she offered prayers and mentioned that to him. Although you are inside and outside of everyone and everything, still due to the curtain of Maya that is covering my eyes, my vision has become defective. And although you are everywhere, I cannot see you. Kunti Devi continued her prayers. And then when Krishna heard these prayers, he smiled very sweetly. which was very charming. But yet, he was on his chariot and prepared to leave again, because he had been in the city of Hastinapur for some time, and the residents of Dwarka were pulling Krishna with their affection to come back to Dwarka. So he was mounting his chariot and ready to leave. But then Yudhisthira approached him. Because despite the fact that he had performed 3 Aswamedha sacrifices, which according to Shastra remove all sin and establish one in great fame, and despite the preaching of Krishna himself, and despite the preaching of so many rishis, Yudhisthira, who was so pious and so moral, and he had no enemies within this world, Yudhisthira was not feeling satisfied that he could attain, step up to the king, to the kingdom, and just rule free from anxiety. This is a typical thing. Arjuna typified someone who was fearful about performing an act. And this is what happened. Before we do something, we worry about the outcome. So Krishna preached to Arjuna in 700 verses, the Bhagavad Gita. He told him that, my dear Arjuna, if you perform activities on your own behalf, you are liable for the reaction. But I want you, Krishna told Arjuna, to be but an instrument in removing this huge amount of the burden of the earth, this huge amount of people, 640 million people. Actually, this was Krishna's mission. When the demigods prayed for Krishna to come, this is specifically what they were asking him to do, to remove the burden of the earth. And Krishna had assembled everyone together, the huge military forces, and was asking, he was killing them, but he wanted Arjuna to be the instrument, the Nimittakaran. And when one is an instrument of the Lord, there is no reaction. There is no sin. It is a perfect deed. When one has acted as the instrument of Krishna, that is perfect. But yet, so before the battle, Arjuna was so much fearing what would happen. He was actually right at what he predicted would happen. There was chaos, 640 million people. We can't even imagine what it would be like to have a battlefield strewn with the bodies of 640 million people. So Arjuna was seeing this with his intelligence, fearing it, and it happened. So before the battle, Krishna spoke to him. And after the battle, this is typically how what happens. Before one commits an act, one fears. And then after one does something, one also fears about how he did it and what the results will be and what are the long-term results. So after the battle, Yudhisthira was feeling the same kind of doubts that Arjuna was feeling, experiencing before the battle. But amazingly enough, Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not convince Yudhisthira that he was sinless in his performance of his duty. Rather, Yudhisthira came to Krishna so distraught, naturally, being a good man. So many people were killed to place him as the king, and he was thinking, all this is done for me? The kingdom was going on, the ruling was going on under Duryodhana. All this needless bloodshed just to put me in charge? Certainly, I will have to suffer so much sin, sinful reactions from this. The same thing that Arjuna was fearing. He was lamenting. Krishna couldn't convince him otherwise. How is that possible? Krishna is within everyone's heart. He is the Parameshwara. He is the Anumanta Bhauta Bhakta. He is the master, the indwelling witness, the supreme controller, the Parameshwara. And he couldn't convince Yudhisthira? Because Krishna had a plan. The rishis, the great sages, couldn't convince Yudhisthira that he was sinless. Why? Krishna had a plan. And very often, when Krishna has a plan, we don't know in advance what is going to happen. We just see things happening. And we fear, we worry, we're in anxiety, but Krishna has his plan. And very often again, when Krishna plans something, he plans that many things happen according to his desire, not just one. So Krishna had a plan here. And no one could convince Yudhisthira because he basically wanted three things to happen. And they all have to do with his great devotee Bhishma. Now Bhishma Dev was one of the great powerful heroes of the Mahabharata. Of course, in the Battle of Kurukshetra he fought. And he fought so wonderfully. He's one of the most endearing characters of the Mahabharata. And naturally everyone's heart goes to this personality who made the vow when he was young, a young man, to never marry, to remain celibate for a Kshatriya. And he kept that vow his whole life. He protected the Pandavas. He was the most powerful warrior in the world. He was so powerful that he had received the benediction that he could not be killed. He did not have to die. Unless he himself wanted to leave this world, he would never have to die. This was due to his incredible piety. He received that benediction. So he is one of the most endearing figures in the Mahabharata. And at this point, Bhishma Dev was on his deathbed. He was shot with hundreds of arrows. Arjuna had shot him. His grandfather Bhishma. And it was close to the time when Bhishma would choose to leave this world. And Krishna wanted Yudhisthira to go and hear, place his questions, his doubts, his lamentations before his great devotee, Krishna's great devotee, Bhishma Dev. Why? Because Krishna wanted to show that his devotee can do things that even he is unable to do. Krishna wanted to glorify his devotee. So he wanted Yudhisthira to stand before Bhishma and have his doubts cleared, something that he himself couldn't do, to show that his devotee is even more wonderful than he. This is the nature of Krishna. That he wants to glorify his devotee. And the nature of the devotee is that he wants to glorify Krishna. So Krishna had reasons for bringing the Pandavas before Bhishma Dev, and that was one. The second reason was that the Pandavas had been removed from their kingdom improperly by Duryodhana. And for so many years, Bhishma had to stand and suffer watching the Pandavas Yudhisthira, the personification of religion, practically speaking, deprived of his rightful claim as the king. He had to watch evil. Bhishma Dev had to watch evil, who was personified in Duryodhana, who was envy personified, Vidura said. He had to watch this Duryodhana conquering over good, who was Yudhisthira, religiousness personified. So this was very painful for Bhishma to endure it. He endured it for so many years. And now that Yudhisthira was coronated as the king and the Pandavas were victorious, Bhishma Dev was now dying, leaving this world by his own will. But Krishna wanted to Bhishma to have the satisfaction of having seen Yudhisthira and the Pandavas as king in their rightful position as king. So for that reason also, Krishna brought Yudhisthira in front of Bhishma. And a third reason was between Krishna and Bhishma. Because Bhishma was dying, and Krishna wanted to stand before him, be personally present in front of Bhishma Dev as his soul left his body. Why? Because that time is the most frightening time. And that time when we leave our bodies is the most crucial time. Practically speaking, it is the time we need the maximum help and the maximum mercy and the maximum intervention by Krishna. And Krishna wanted to personally be there before Bhishma to reassure him and in this way express his affection. Because Bhishma was such a great devotee. So Prabhupada explains these three points in one of his purports in the end of the eighth chapter. Then in the ninth chapter, in the beginning of the ninth chapter, all the Pandavas with Krishna and Arjuna were on a chariot together as they went again to the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Because previously, while the war was going on, Krishna was driving the Arjuna's chariot, but now the war was over. And Krishna and Arjuna were on the same chariot. Before, Krishna had acted as the chariot driver of Arjuna, as the inferior of Arjuna. But Krishna actually wasn't inferior to Arjuna. And now they were sitting as equals. But nor was Krishna actually the equal of Arjuna, Arjuna the equal of Krishna. No. Krishna's name is Asama Udha. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater than him. But yet, out of his affection for Arjuna, out of his affection for his devotee, Krishna had driven Arjuna's chariot and acted as the inferior of Arjuna, and now he was sitting on the same chariot as Arjuna, again acting as his equal, as his friend. Although he is the Supreme Personality of God, this is the dealings of Krishna and his devotees. And we should become very attracted to the dealings between Krishna and his devotees. Because unless we're attracted to become a devotee and gain these type of dealings with Krishna, we will be attracted to mundane dealings and stay forever in the material world. So it is very important, param visvanavartite, to get a taste for hearing and desiring to live in our relationship with Krishna, because it is so far superior to any relationship within this world of matter. So, Pandavas, Krishna and Arjuna, and so many sages, so many rishis, including even Sukadeva Goswami, who is the speaker of the Bhagavatam, and including Srila Vyasadeva, who is an incarnation of the Lord, who is the Lord. They came to watch this great event, the passing of Bhishma Dev, and especially when they heard that the Pandavas and Krishna himself were coming, they wanted to be there as well. So the place, Kurukshetra, and this place, this actual place where Bhishma Dev left this world, is still there in Kurukshetra. Has anyone been there? Seen this place? There is a small, maybe 3 or 4 times bigger than this room, a tank of water there to commemorate, because Bhishma Dev was thirsty and Arjuna shot an arrow into the ground and the Ganga came up, because the Ganga was the mother of Bhishma. So Ganga water came up to feed, to quench the thirst of Bhishma Dev. So that place and that tank is still there in Kurukshetra, a very nice place. Many parrots are in it, around it. So, the great sages, the Pandavas and Krishna, all approach Bhishma, who was lying. And there's pictures depicting this in our Bhagavatam, and they're quite famous. With Bhishma, pierced in so many places with arrows. And he's lying. It's described that he's lying on a bed of arrows. Practically his body looked like a pincushion with the arrows of Arjuna in it. And yet, he did not die, because he did not have to die. He was waiting. He was waiting for the right moment to leave this world. And that right moment was soon approaching, because Krishna had come. Bhishma Dev, although in such a difficult, who can imagine a more difficult position to be in? Completely lying prone, body pierced in so many places with arrows, unbelievable pain, and yet Bhishma Dev reciprocated with affection with everyone who came. He worshipped Lord Krishna, because although he had to fight against Krishna, because Krishna had basically taken the side of the Pandavas, still Krishna, he understood Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we'll hear one wonderful verse where he calls Krishna the Adyo Narayan, the original Narayan. His worshipable Lord was Lord Narayan. Even though he knew Krishna was the origin of Narayan, the two-handed Krishna, still his worshipable Lord was Forum Narayan. So he worshipped Krishna and the Pandavas, he worshipped all the sages and showed them so much respect. And the Pandavas sat down before Bhishma, and they were remembering how Bhishma was the one, their grandfather, had cared for them in so many ways when they were minor children, when they were young, and under the care of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, who were plotting continuously to kill them. It was Bhishma who had brought them up. And they were remembering that Bhishma and his kindness at that very moment. And they were watching him with tears in their eyes, their hearts full of affection for Bhishma Dev, as he lay on his bed of arrows. And Bhishma Dev, for his part, he was just gazing with affection at the Pandavas. And he had tears in his eyes. The great warrior was so thrilled and so happy to see how Yudhisthira and the Pandavas were now victorious. There was no enmity in his heart, Even though the arrows which were piercing his body were shot by Arjuna, and Arjuna was sitting right before him, there was no enmity on his part. Because his realization was that was accurate, that Arjuna was a instrument of Krishna, and nothing could happen without the sanction and plan of the Lord. So there was no enmity on Bhishma Dev's part, but rather he was full and brimming with affection for the Pandavas. Now, I want to return to text 12 in chapter 9. First, I'll just read the English of text 11. The sons of Maharaj Pandu were sitting silently nearby, overtaken with affection for their dying grandfather. Seeing this, Bhishma Dev congratulated them with feeling. There were tears of ecstasy in his eyes, for he was overwhelmed by love and affection. Text 12, Bhishma Dev starts speaking. Aho, aho kashtam. Kashta means trouble. Aho means oh. Oh, aho kashtam, aho anyayam. Oh, what terrible sufferings and what terrible injustices you good souls suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under those tribulations. Yet you were protected by the Brahmanas, God and religion. So he's saying that ordinary people, they would have died had they been in such a circumstance, a difficult circumstance that you were in. But you were protected. Now, there's a wonderful sequence of points here that are especially relevant for any of us who happen to be in the material world and find that at times things aren't working according to our desire. And in fact, we find that at times just the opposite of our desire occurs. If we happen to be one of those souls who fit into those categories, these instructions or Bhishma Dev's words are very important for us. Remember, Yudhisthira had approached Bhishma Dev by Krishna's arrangement to remove this great cloud of grief from upon his shoulders, which was covering his consciousness, the lamentation that was covering his consciousness. Because so many people had been killed. So the first thing that Bhishma Dev says is that the Pandavas were the ones that suffered. Just see the nature of a good person like Yudhisthira. He was not at all thinking about and considering what injustices were done to him. Rather, he was thinking of his own faults. He was lamenting his own faults. Thinking that to put me in power, so much pain and killing had been done to Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, and he was not at all thinking about what he's saying, what Bhishma Dev is bringing to his attention and making the perspective more complete. So much injustice, Yudhisthira, had been done to you. But your position, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, was perfect. Here's why. Prabhupada explains. Therefore, he, Yudhisthira, should not regret the great massacre. He, Bhishma, wanted to point out particularly that they were always protected by the Brahmanas, the Lord, and religious principles. As long as they were protected by these three important items, the Lord, the Brahmanas, and the Vaishnavas, there was no cause of disappointment. Thus, Bhishma Dev encouraged Yudhisthira Maharaj to dissipate his despondency. As long as a person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, guided by the bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and strictly following religious principles, here are three principles that make all our activities perfect, regardless of the result. One is to be in cooperation with Krishna's desires, and to be guided by the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. We could say that's two. And the third is to be acting religiously. To be acting properly, as best we are able, in cooperation with the Lord, Krishna's desires, and under the guidance of the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. Then, regardless of what the result of our activities are, our activity is perfect. However trying the circumstances of life, no matter what the result, differing degrees, the modes of material nature, one's karma, one's reactions, they will be always good, bad, mixed, or terrible, pleasant, and mixtures of terrible and happy. This is the material world, and everyone has this. And what can we do in this world, which is always changing, which is so much out of our control, is we become in cooperation with the Lord's desires, guided by the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and acting religiously. Then we are, that is the definition of being rightly situated. That is the definition of being situated in the secure platform. Materialistic people, they think that the result of my deeds, if I act, the proof of the goodness of my acts is if my acts are successful and I get the fruit that I want. And that puts one completely in the hands of this unpredictable material nature. That means one's happy when one gets what one wants, and one is miserable when one doesn't get what one wants. Like a child. If there's a toy with the child, if the child gets his toy, he smiles for a few minutes. And then if someone takes away his toy, immediately he's crying. So his happiness and crying are both meaningless, actually. So similarly, just imagine if a child is like that. Give him the toy, he's happy. And you take away the toy and he starts crying. Feelingly. You see this with the children. They're existentially perfect. When they don't get what they want and they cry, you know, they really cry. But just imagine the situation if someone was there whose only purpose was to give him the toy and take away the toy and give him the toy and take away, so the child will finally learn a lesson, but the child doesn't know that and doesn't have the capacity, and he's just only attached to the toy, and therefore just imagine how tortured that child is going to be. Someone just giving him the toy and taking the toy and giving him and taking him and teasing him, and here's it for a second, now you can have it for 5 minutes, and taking it, okay, don't worry about it, it's yours, don't worry about a thing you can have, and then taking it again. That's what our situation is in the material world. And we cry and we laugh, and when we get it, and on and off and on and off. That's the kind of thing that could drive someone crazy. And that's why everyone in the material world is more or less crazy. Because we've put our whole life in the hands of something completely changing. And we've conditioned to become happy only when, not when the thing is changing, but our happiness, conditioning of happiness, is only when we get what we want. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is impossible, because this is the material world. So, these are the guidelines that Bhishma is telling. There is no cause for despondency if one follows these guidelines, however trying the circumstances of life. Bhishma Dev is one of the authorities in the line. He wanted to impress this point on the Pandavas. Again, the verse was explaining how Yudhisthira, a good man, was seeing only his own faults, and Bhishma Dev first put it in perspective, and then he put it in the perspective of what Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra had perpetrated, so much evil upon them, wickedness upon them, and Yudhisthira was only seeing his own fault. That is goodness. Then, next verse. As far as my daughter-in-law Kunti is concerned, upon the great general Pandu's death, she became a widow with many children, and therefore she suffered greatly. Sometimes we can tolerate any kind of suffering for ourselves, but only an animal can, cold-hearted animal can tolerate the sufferings of his mother. So Bhishma Dev is pointing out that not only you were caused to suffer, but also your mother Kunti Devi was caused to suffer. And when you were grown up, she suffered a great deal also because of your actions. In my opinion, Bhishma Dev says in text 14, this is all due to inevitable time, under whose control everyone in every planet is carried, just as the clouds are carried by the wind. Prabhupada explains, there is control by time all over the space within the universe. Actually, it is time, the time factor, that moves our karma along. And we are under the control of that time factor. That time factor is an energy of the Paramatma, the Lord. And therefore it is no different from the Lord. And Prabhupada will explain this directly. So time mixed with our karma, but time is controlling everything in this world. There is control by time over all the space within the universe, as there is control by time all over the planets. All the big, gigantic planets, including the sun, are all being controlled by the force of air, as the clouds are carried by the force of air. Similarly, the inevitable kala, or time, controls even the action of air and other elements. Everything, therefore, is controlled by the supreme kala, a forceful representative of the Lord within the material world. Thus, Yudhisthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. Everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. When I was reading these things, these points, it struck me again that these points are meant to be assimilated very deeply and then applied to our life, because we have so many circumstances in which these points are essential for us to remember and apply. So not that it just remains intellectual, but this jnana, this knowledge, should be applied and realized. That is called living by the Shastra. It is not easy to do this, but this is what we are meant to do. So Bhishma Dev, Krishna of course knows this. And the sages already said this to Yudhisthira. But Krishna wants Bhishma to be glorified. So his words, the words of Bhishma Dev, are being heard perfectly by Yudhisthira. So Bhishma Dev is saying, that everything is being controlled by time. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of the inevitable time. Text 15. It is irreversible. Sometimes we say fate. Sometimes we say providence. Kala. Sometimes we say that's Krishna's desire. They are all true. And ultimately, it is Krishna's desire. It is irreversible. And this point is so heavy that we are so insignificant that we cannot reverse the power of time. This makes people very, very insecure when they think about this. Because people's security is based on illusion that they are in control, but actually we are not in control. Oh, how wonderful. This is Bhishma Dev, who is such a powerful warrior. He is the most powerful warrior on the planet. And he's not walking around thinking, just see my power, I have defeated this, I have defeated that. No, he's thinking, oh, how time, which is out of my control, defeats all. How wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion, Bhim, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjun with his mighty weapons Gandiva, because the Pandavas had been defeated continuously, forced into exile, given so much difficulty to fight, despite this, these facts. And he's saying, despite, above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas, was with them as their well-wisher and friend, and yet they were meeting continuous reverses for year after year after year. When we take up religion, when we take up Krishna consciousness, we want everything to go perfectly smoothly according to our plan. And then the tests come. Whether we want, whether our plan is to make Krishna our order supplier and make him act according to the snap of our fingers and according to our list, or we want to become actual servants of Krishna, devoted lovers of Krishna who serve his desire. This is actually the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that religion is not meant to place God in our service, but it is meant to place us in Krishna's service. But these tests of transcending our self-centeredness, although they come frequently, they must. They are not easy to pass, but it is required. Prabhupada explains in the purport. As far as the material or kala is identical with the Lord himself, that means that the time factor which is controlling everything is Krishna. That means that kala is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of kala, what does kala mean? Time, indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. What does inexplicable mean?
Ready.
Huh?
Ready.
It means unexplainable. Inexplicable. Inexplainable. The same. It means time, or what happens, ununderstandable as it may seem to us tiny creatures, is Krishna's desire. Kala is identical with the Lord Himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord Himself. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Text 16. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. So what to do? This, if we accept this philosophy, this makes us like a leaf in the middle of the ocean. It can be overcome by waves at any time. It's helpless before powerful Krishna. This is the situation. So what should we do about that, considering this? The non-devotees fight this with every ounce of their energy to the bitter end. It means death. And of course it's a losing battle. And the devotees, according to the depth of the devotion, realize and accept this and are not afraid of it. Prabhupada gave the example of the cat being held. The cat holds two different creatures differently. It holds the mice when the cat holds the mouse in his teeth. It means certain death for the mouse. And when the cat holds his own baby, the kitten, in his teeth, and the cat does, it carries them by the scruff of the neck, then it's nothing. It's just a gesture of affection. So sometimes we think we're the mouse. We have to have the mood of being the kitten and know who's holding us. The tests sometimes become very heavy. So what to do? Prabhupada explains, the best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The sufferings of the Pandavas were never due to their past deeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue, and therefore His own devotees suffered temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. Bhishma Dev was certainly satisfied by seeing the triumph of virtue, and he was glad to see King Yudhisthira on the throne, although he himself fought against him. Even a great fighter like Bhishma could not win the battle of Kurukshetra because the Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue, regardless of who tries to execute it. Bhishma Dev was a great devotee of the Lord, but he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord because the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. Now, after explaining this very important philosophy to Yudhisthira and basically removing his lamentation, making sure that Yudhisthira understood clearly that he himself, Yudhisthira, was rightly situated. He was acting religiously. He was guided by the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. And he was in concordance with the Lord's desire. And therefore, the result, what happened, horrendous as it may seem, 640 million people killed. Just imagine the ocean of arms and legs and the blood spilt and the heads cut off. How horrible it would be to envision that. What to speak of thinking that this was done for me, to put me as the king. What to speak of thinking that I'm going to have to reap the results of this, the sinful reactions from all this. So Yudhisthira, such a good person, was mortified. But Bhishma Dev convinced him that this, what happened because of who you were, you should not think in this way. You are completely cooperating with the Lord, and therefore you have to accept that this was all Krishna's plan. It does not fall upon your head. So the benefit, what a benefit of being in concordance with Krishna's desire. One is free, can be anxiety-less in this world regardless of the situation, what's happening externally. And then Bhishma tells Yudhisthira exactly what he should do and should be doing. Text 17. O best amongst the descendants of Bharata, Yudhisthira, I maintain therefore that all this is within the plan of the Lord. Accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, you must follow it. You are now the appointed administrative head, and my Lord, you should now take care of those subjects who are now rendered helpless. You have to do your duty now. Krishna made this plan to make you the king, and now you are the king, and the people are helpless. You have to perform your duty. Purport. The popular saying is that a housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Similarly, the Lord teaches the world by teaching the devotee. The devotee does not have to learn anything new from the Lord because the Lord teaches the sincere devotee always from within. Whenever, therefore, a show is made to teach the devotee, as in the case of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, it is for teaching the less intelligent men. A devotee's duty, therefore, is to ungrudgingly accept tribulations from the Lord as a benediction. Ungrudgingly accept tribulations. Now that is asking a lot, isn't it? Ungrudgingly accept all tribulations. Not only accept it with gritted teeth. Okay, I can take it. I'll do it. But as a benediction. That means one's realization and faith must be full and deep. One's love has to be developed. That's what it means. Then, having completed his instructions to Yudhisthira, he tells Yudhisthira further who this Lord is. Because whose hands are we in? Is he some powerful figure, vengeful Lord with a thunderbolt? You have done this wrong. You have done that wrong. Doing so many horrible things to so many seemingly good people, or for some little mistake maybe, doing this and that. Who is this Lord who is all powerful? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Savaloka Maheshwaram Suritam. He's the well-wishing friend. This balances the fact in our consciousness that he is the Savaloka Maheshwaram, the Lord of all planets and the enjoyer of everything. He is our Surid, our dearmost friend, near and dear friend. So now Bhishma Dev is going to describe in several verses Krishna. This Sri Krishna, he is the Lord, because the Pandavas were treating him as a friend. He is no other than the inconceivable original personality of Godhead. Eshavai Bhagavan Shakshad Adyo Narayana Pumam. Bhishma Dev, the Mahajan, the great authority in devotional service, is saying it is Krishna, this Lord who you are treating as a friend and who drove the chariot of Arjuna. He is the Adya Narayan, the origin of Lord Narayan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original Narayan, the first Narayan, the supreme enjoyer, but, inconceivably enough, he is moving amongst the descendants of King Vrishni just like one of us. And he's bewildering us with his self-created energy. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, the sage amongst the demigods, and Kapila, the incarnation of God, all know very confidentially about his glories through direct contact. They know that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the purport to this verse, Prabhupada explains how Krishna reveals his glories to his devotees. And then he explains a point that he had just made before. It seems like it comes from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. These glories of the Lord are exhibited in his being subordinate before his devotees. And that is another feature of the glories of the Lord. Sukadev Goswami and the Kumaras, although situated in the transcendental position, became converted by another feature of bhava. Bhava meaning the glories of the Lord. And they turned into pure devotees of the Lord. Now listen to this. Tribulations imposed upon the devotees by the Lord constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and his devotees. The Lord says, I put my devotee into difficulty. And thus the devotee becomes more purified in exchanging transcendental bhava with me. Bhishma Dev continues, O King, that personality whom, out of ignorance only, you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, your well-wisher, your counselor, your messenger, your benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, he is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and he is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material inebriety. He is equal balanced. Yet, although he is equal to everyone, Bhishma Dev says, he is being especially kind to me right now. He has graciously come before me when I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. The personality of Godhead, who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting of the holy name, he releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of quitting the material body. May my Lord, who is four-handed and whose beautifully decorated lotus face with eyes as red as the rising sun is smiling, kindly await me at that moment when I quit my material body. So Bhishma Dev, I'll read in 22 in the class by reading the first two paragraphs of the purport. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, although equal to everyone, is still more inclined to his unflinching devotee who is completely surrendered and knows no one else as his protector and master. Having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend, and master is the natural condition of eternal life. A living entity is so made by the will of the Almighty that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. The opposite tendency is the cause of fall down. The living entity has this tendency of falling down by dint of misidentifying himself as fully independent to lord it over the material world. The root cause of all trouble is there in false egotism. One must draw towards the Lord in all circumstances. So the point being that we are helpless. We are in the hands of Krishna and we should fully depend upon Krishna. And then we accept all that happens, even if there are tribulations, as his benediction. This consciousness situates us in the spiritual world. Okay, thank you. So tomorrow we'll continue as Bhishma Devas describes his own consciousness in even more detail. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? No. That knowledge, that's the important thing. That everything in this world is doomed. Everything made out of matter is doomed. So what do we do if Krishna somehow gives us a realization of that? He gave it to Arjuna so heavily. Kalosmin Loka Jayakrit. He showed Arjuna before his very eyes how every person, everything was going to be destroyed by him. This Vishwarupa is universal form. So if we get a glimpse of that, either through some revelation or by our intelligence, we should become very humble. That's the first thing. And then we should pray to Krishna to help us. Because if we get a glimpse of that, we know how fragile our position is in the material world. How tottering, how dangerous the material world is. And how weak and insignificant we are. Now we're supposed to actually read.